The emancipated female. There are, however, women who still have jobs or careers at the age of 25 or older. There are a variety of reasons for this. A. The woman is married to a failure. He is not making enough money to provide her with all the useless rubbish she cannot do without. B. The woman cannot have children. Once the man's passion for her has been spent, he can see no good reason to continuing to support her. C. The woman is ugly. D. The woman is emancipated. E. The woman is interested in a particular career, and from the start she renounces her own slaves and her own children. Types A and B are closely related. It is the next two groups which are important, for an ugly woman is often considered to be emancipated, and this is false. The chance of meeting someone in the last category, a woman who renounces comfort and serfs for intellectual reasons, let alone from a sense of what is fair, is rare indeed. Let us consider the ugly woman. A woman is ugly when she is unattractive to men, that is, when her secondary sexual characteristics are underdeveloped or insufficiently advertised, and because there is an absence in her features of a baby look. A woman of this type works for the same reason as a man, because there is no one else to do it for her. Yet whereas man keeps a wife and children with his income, she works for herself alone. She would never use the money she earns to finance the life of a beautiful young man. This type of woman is frequently quite intelligent. True, at the beginning she will have permitted her intellectual capacities to become atrophied because she, like all other women, has been following her mother's example, and because she, too, will want to acquire a working slave. But as she gets older, she sees her chances dwindle, and one day she finds herself faced with the fact that there is nothing else for her to do but remember and resurrect the last remnants of what was once her mind and make the best of it. Some women in this group achieve a very real success. They frequently obtain high honors, simply because they are unusual, a rare species, these intellectual women, and they are often journalists, authors, politicians, doctors, or lawyers. What is more, they render a great service to the exploiters in the suburban ranch houses. "Look at that," these women say. "We could do that as well, but we renounced it all for you." The man, put off by these few examples of intelligent womanhood, is only too glad to cling to his imbecile, who will tell him that those intellectual blue stockings are ugly, bitter, lacking in charm, in sum, unwomanly. And his preference for the lobotomized creature lying at his bed will increase a thousandfold. After all, if necessary, if he becomes really desperate, he can always find a man to talk to. Not even an ugly woman, despite her success, ever wants to give up her special feminine status entirely. She seems to take it for granted that the world should admire her as a kind of eighth wonder of the world, a woman who has actually achieved personal success. She will emphasize her femininity in every possible way until it becomes almost obscene. She will appear on television and give interviews to the press whenever possible, her flabby bosom hanging over her large desk, complaining how hard it is for her as a woman to maintain her status in a man's world. Be that as it may, she is, compared to the usual female exploiter, comparatively respectable and honest. And you have only to look at her face to realize why she is so successful, is another matter altogether. There is no virtue in ugliness. Things become rather more complicated when one comes to consider the case of the so-called emancipated woman. The first three categories of women can easily be tempted away from their work by bribery, and this includes the ugly woman before she has become successful. An emancipated woman, however, never works for money. She must, by definition, have been attractive even as a young girl and therefore have had slaves with good incomes at hand. Therefore, it is only the beautiful woman who can become emancipated. An ugly woman, like a man, is never in this position. No one has ever attempted to corrupt her. Since she, again like men, has nothing to emancipate herself from, she has no choice but to work. The emancipated woman has all the accessories of the average housewife: a comfortable apartment, the necessary status symbols of her coterie, and children, seldom more than one or two, though. The difference lies in the fact that her sphere of entertainment is not limited to the home or the masquerades given by her own sex. She entertains herself best by undertaking some inferior form of drudgery where she is surrounded by a fairly large audience. We find her wandering airily along the corridors of publishing houses and newspaper offices. We meet her in the anterooms of film producers, television executives, and theatrical managers. She is a production assistant or an interpreter. She will be found behind the counter of a travel agency, in a jeweler's, an antique dealer's, or a boutique. In fact, anywhere she can meet rich and interesting people. And her money? That is spent almost entirely on her elaborate masks, which keep her with it and up to date at her place of work. In fact, the emancipated woman is just as stupid as the others, but she does not want people to think so. If she mentions housewives, it is with utter contempt. As she has a job which would not be unworthy of a man, she believes that this very fact alone makes her intelligent, but she is confusing cause and effect. Men work only because they have to, and not because they are intelligent. Most men would start to make proper use of their intelligence if they were free of financial obligations, as free as housewives, for example. A woman living at home has, in fact, far better opportunities of enjoying a stimulating intellectual life than one who is stuck between a typewriter and a dictaphone. The work chosen by an emancipated woman rarely involves effort or responsibility, although she makes herself believe it involves both. As far as she is concerned, it is satisfying, stimulating, and keeps her from stagnating. She simply couldn't exist without it. Yet if one gets down to the facts, she is never really dependent on it. Unlike the ugly woman, she could give it up at any time. She never works without life-saving apparatus. The moment there is any sign of difficulty on the horizon, up jumps a man from somewhere in the wings and rushes to her aid. This type of woman finds it unfair that she does not get on as fast as a man. But on the other hand, she never allows herself to become part of the murderous rat race. The complaint she utters is always the same. Even as an emancipated woman, one simply is not given the same chances as a man. Instead of fighting for her chance on the spot, she runs off, covered in makeup like a clown and looking like a Christmas tree, to yell for women's rights and women's equality at one of the meetings held by her coterie. It would never occur to her that she alone, and not man, is the cause of this unequal state of affairs. She, woman, with her total lack of interest, her stupidity, her venality, her unreliability, her ridiculous masquerades, and her eternal pregnancies, and above all, because of her merciless manipulation of man. How could she have caused the situation? On the other hand, men may well think that husbands of emancipated women are lucky. They do not have to bear the financial responsibilities alone. The contrary is the case. The husbands of so-called emancipated women are usually extremely unhappy. After all, they have had the same basic training as other men, and so they are always trying to keep one step ahead of their wives. A translator's husband will be a writer, a shorthand typist's a departmental manager, a pottery maker's a sculptor, a feature writer's an editor. Therefore, an emancipated woman is far from being a help to her man. She exploits him even more than the others. The higher she rises, the more relentlessly she drives him. Such women, either by chance or because they are attractive enough to be protected by some man, often rise to really important positions. If his position is comparatively low, every time she gets an increase of salary, it will be a traumatic experience for him. Professional recognition of her will merely put him in a panic. He lives in a constant fear that one day she will overtake him, and on top of it, he suffers agonies of jealousy about the strange men she meets every day. He feels superfluous, and his whole existence seems pointless because she no longer seems to need him. The one true happiness of the slave, the only happiness left to manipulated man, is now denied him. A woman of this type does not even make her children happy. After all, she is only different from other women, not better. She is entertained more by her stupid office work than by her children. But she is not going to give up having them. A woman, she will say, has to experience motherhood, otherwise she will not be fulfilled. In fact, this woman has her cake and eats it too. She does not want to give up her stimulating mental work and is able to bundle her children off to nurseries or boarding schools or to leave them in the care of one of those much despised housewives. She does not even do the housework. That is shared by her husband after office hours. While he waxes the floors, waters the plants, and polishes the silver, he is meant to carry on stimulating intellectual conversation with her. For the emancipated woman renounces neither the traditional rubbish of her clique nor her work slave and children. In order to emphasize her claims to masculine prerogatives, her claim, that is, to the highly paid positions of men and not to the prerogatives of, say, soldiers, emancipated women from time to time organize so-called movements. Such campaigns give her an opportunity to draw the world's attention to her with a great deal of shouting and noise, and to openly demonstrate her political views by putting lighted candles in her living room windows. In full view of the television public, women have pinched the bottoms of building site workers and perpetrated other absurdities. Woman frees herself from her imaginary chains at regular intervals. Spiritual ones being unknown to her, she interprets them literally. At the turn of the century, it was the corset that went. In the 70s, the bra. And just to make sure that everyone knew about it, she got men to make see-through blouses. Perhaps in the next wave of emancipation, it will be the uncomfortable long skirt which goes. The skirt they have just flirtatiously readopted and made part of their props, despite general male disapproval. But their stupidity, their inanity, their ridiculous behavior, their mendacity and lack of feeling, and their tedious and abysmally stupid chatter are still there. Women have never taken any steps to get rid of those. No matter how much a woman is earning, she will never let a man take her place in the house, nor will she take on his responsibility for earning their livelihood or maintaining their social prestige. Even though it is quite possible, since she is much more thick-skinned and consequently will suffer less by doing work of deadly routine, that job really does fulfill her and make her happy, she will never help him with her money. She will never open doors for him or light his cigarette. She will never take out any insurance policy in his favor or give him alimony should there be a divorce. That is not considered feminine. Neither would it occur to a man to expect such a settlement. He has been conditioned too well. The husband of the emancipated woman will simply give his wife a kiss, wipe the traces of face cream, powder, and lipstick from his face, and throw himself once again into the battle.